Golf Smarter number 619 is brought to you by Flavier. Go to flavier.com/exclusive and use the coupon code GOLFSMARTER. When you become a Flavier member, each month you get free shipping on any full-sized bottle order. And stay tuned after our conversation for another installment of the Golf Smarter Academy with Tony Manzoni, presented by Health IQ. Are you aware that life insurance companies calculate your policy rates based on your nearest age, not your actual age, and rates increase as you get older? Lock in the best rate possible by getting a free quote today. Go to healthiq.com/golfsmarter to see if you qualify. Do you know where your club head is at the moment of impact? And what can we learn from it? With Martin Chuck.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Martin.
Hey, Fred, it is great to be back. Happy New Year, pal.
Happy New Year to you, too. So excited to get you back. I love watching your stuff on Revolution Golf. You have become so comfortable in front of a camera. Oh, it's amazing, the transformation. I've been watching you since you started with Revolution Golf and where you are now. And it's just, you just don't even know that there's a camera there. It feels like you're talking to me.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's funny. They just posted something on a membership drive they're having. It says, Martin Chuck has 299 videos in the archives for review. So, yeah,
wow.
I guess you get a little practice in, you know, 299, 4 to 7 minute bits.
Well, you know, I feel the same way after doing 600 plus episodes here on the podcast. I feel like I'm a little more comfortable now than I was when I started.
Yeah, I'd say you're pretty good at it. Yeah.
Well, not about that. Revolution Golf, can we talk about that for a minute? I don't want to talk about my competition, but they're really not my competition, and I'm barely their competition. They're doing so great. Is it Justin Tupper, right?
Justin Tupper, yeah. He's the brainchild behind the whole deal a number of years back, and I've just been thrilled and blessed to be a part of the ride, honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
you know, run on here a little bit. So, you know, a number of years back, my neighbor, oddly, when I was living in Bend, Oregon as a director of golf, as you know, you've had me on the show before to talk about one of my products, a Tour Striker.
Oh, yeah.
And that was an infomercial that ran for almost 2 years on the Golf Channel. So it had a really good run. But, toward the end of that 2 years, the show wasn't really paying for itself as far as how much the cost of the show and how much you return back. So that's when everybody, I was seeing banner ad after banner ad everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this, I'm like, who is this Revolution Golf? What are they doing? They're everywhere. And I thought to myself, man, I got to get into this somehow. And sure enough, my neighbor comes back. This is such a weird deal. He comes back to and comes over for a beer and says, hey, you know, I was just at a marketing conference and I sat beside this really nice guy. His name is Justin Tupper. Mm. And he has this thing called Revolution Golf. And I'm like, what? You know, and he goes, we were talking, and I told him my neighbor was a golf pro, he invented something, and the odd thing was, he knew what the Tour Striker was, and that was the connection. It was just such a freaky deal. And I've been on there for, I'm going on my 7th year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, well, when was the first time that we got together? More than 7 years ago.
It was, I think Jeff Ritter is a mutual friend of ours, right?
Yes,
and Jeff
yeah.
was on the show, he's been on a number of times, and he said, hey.
Yeah, he's coming back, too.
Is he good? Yeah. And he said, you know, Fred Green's a friend of mine. He runs this podcast. Would you be interested in going on there? And of course I would. So, you know, that's when we got to know each other. And then the Revolution Golf thing, that platform took off with the videos online. Mm-hmm. And it seems like everything's going to, consumption of content at your fingertips, right? Whether it's podcast or video or whatever.
Yeah. Content on demand.
TV. Yeah. So here we are, my friend.
It's amazing. 299 videos. So
yeah.
What do they send you a couple cameras and a wireless microphone and say go, or do they suggest topics? How does it work for you?
So they basically, my topics come from my daily work with students. Like I teach a solid 40 some odd hours a week, every week.
Do you really?
Oh yeah. 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 No, I love it. I love being on the lesson tee and adjusting grips and fixing people's low point and helping them stop slicing and chipping. I still get up in the morning and go, all right, I can't wait to get to work. And so every week,
really?
Whether
wait, 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 wait. You call that work?
You're right. Sorry. Forgive me. Yeah. I know. Somebody's got to do it, Fred. Somebody has to.
Oh, there are plenty of people out there doing it, Martin. There are probably more teachers per student than anything else other than maybe piano lessons.
Good point. Good point. I joke and forgive the cat lovers out there. I say if you swing a cat in Phoenix, you can hit a teacher, a golf teacher.
That's true.
And but I've been blessed. I've been teaching now since I started when I was 16. And I'm 49, so I've been at it a while, and I honestly love doing it. And luckily, people seem to enjoy it. So, and you said, how do you do the videos? The videos for me are, Justin said, buy a good wireless mic, which I did. And I use two iPhones, one face on, one down the line. I pop it into my video editor on my Mac, and voila, out comes the video.
You're shooting them on an iPhone?
I shoot them on iPhones. Yep.
They look
fabulous.
And now
the iPhones are so good it does look pretty good. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it looks so good. I am kind of shocked. I didn't realize. I thought you had real cameras going, but
no.
I shouldn't be shocked because I have, as a video producer, I have used my iPhone multiple times for shots in my pieces. So I know. So Martin Chuck's turning 50.
Yeah, crazy.
Oh my. Yeah. So what, how are you feeling about that? I mean, is this concern you at all? Is there anything that you're, do you think about it or do you not care?
I feel good. I mean, my forehead's turning into a five head. physically, I feel great. My golf game, I don't play much anymore. And part of me was like way back when I was when I was about 26, 7, stopped playing professional golf. I mean, I still play a few tournaments a year. I thought, I can't wait till I'm 50. You know, and now I go play and I'm saying to myself, God, I would love to, my goal next year is obviously to try to qualify for the U.S. Senior Open, the Senior PGA, I'll go over to Great Britain and try to qualify in the British PGA.
Wow.
Seniors, of course, which is funny to say. But I have no intent on trying to play full time because honestly, I'm really not that good. I'm good, but I'm not that good. And so I'll make it fun and I'll try to qualify. And if I get in, it'll be a nice vacation of serious golf and have some fun with some of my friends that play out there. And that'll be that.
So, very cool.
And I still love my job. So I still teach.
You called it a job again, man.
It's a job. Yeah. It's a fun one, though.
it's work.
And people are jealous and they should be. So I'm very blessed and I'm grateful to do what I do.
That's nice. That's nice. Trying to get onto the senior tour, the champions tour. How much effort did you put into trying to make the PGA tour as a younger man?
Well, I played college golf and I was okay college player. And then I went to Canadian Q School, was my first endeavor as a professional. And I made it through and I played in the Canadian tour for a few years. And I Monday qualified for some, back then it was called it was a Ben Hogan tour. Then it was a Nike tour. So I played a few of those and developmental tours, and then I got off, and I was okay player, and I still had holes in my game, and then I got offered a head pro job in Palm Springs at a nice place, and the guy said, "We'll pay you this much money," and that much money to me was a ton of money at the time, and I took it. So that was my exit off of professional golf, and I was at a nice club in Palm Desert, California. Actually, it was called Indian Ridge Country Club, and I'd always been around. Really great club pros as a kid. So I'd had some good mentoring in the business and I really enjoyed being a club pro because I got to run tournaments and be with people and build tournament programs. And it's, you're more like a cruise director. Like I always say, a good club pro is like a cruise director because you have ladies day. That's got to go really well. Tuesdays is like my Olympics every week. Okay. You got 100 ladies coming out. You better be dialed in, buddy. You got to have it organized. If you don't, you will get steamrolled. So that was a big
thrown overboard.
Yes, thrown overboard. That's more like it. So ladies' day and then men's club and then their bigger events, ladies member guest, all that stuff. And I actually enjoyed that stuff. And I got up for it and, merchandise in a shop. It was fun. Now, naturally, would I have rather been winning big checks on Sundays? Sure. But, I had a heart-to-heart with my dad back in the day when I got offered that job, which I really had no business being offered because I hadn't really earned that job. The guy who owned the golf club at the time, he was just a fan of mine and he saw, you know, whatever he saw in me, he wanted me to run the joint, and I did, and I had a good time doing it. So I was a club pro for 16 years. Mm. And then, you know, the invention stuff took off, the Tour Striker training products. And then my wife said, well, you know, you got a lot of people want to take lessons. Why don't you just run a golf school? And I'm like, hey, good idea, babe. You know, so I went from the club pro guy to the golf school guy, and the invention stuff's still there, which I still love to do, and having a good time. That's all I can tell you, man.
Hey, really? It was your wife's idea? Come on.
It was my wife's idea. Yeah, it was.
It didn't wasn't a hard sell.
No, it wasn't. But you know what, though? She was the one who, she's kind of the risk taker. I'm not.
Oh.
You know, I'm okay. You know, I had you know, I thought, all right, well, I've got this invention. But she's the one that said, all right, let's go for it. Let's, you know, here's some money we have. Let's see how far it goes.
Wow.
And then in the golf school thing, she's like, hey, you know, why don't you just do a golf school instead of I was a director of golf, general manager at a nice club in Bend, Oregon at the time. And, you know, I had a stable salary and it was a good job. And she's the one who said, hey, why don't you, you know, forget that. You know, go do a golf school. And the golf school part's been crushing it because it's been a blast and people have had fun and I'm loving it. So another good idea for my wife, Stacy.
Yay, Stacy.
Yes.
Round of outstanding ovation.
She is known as Mama Striker.
Yeah. Mama Striker.
Mama Striker.
That's interesting because I get people coming to me on a regular basis going, hey, I've come up with this new product and I'm willing to quit my job to put this little new golf tee out there. It's like, gosh, don't do that. But yeah. It's always, you know, my question is always, how's the support at home for this kind of thing? Because what you don't want to do when you're trying to introduce something new like that is hearing the foot tapping behind you or the fingers, you know, rolling on the tabletop, like, okay, you done with this?
Right? Yeah, right.
You got to have full support from home. And that's just a blessing. I've been blessed with that as well.
Yeah. And I tell you what, I get a lot of those calls, Brett. I get a call, you know, I'm going to say not quite one a week, but for a while there, people call me up and say, hey, Martin, you know, congrats on your success with Tour Striker products. And I've got this idea.
Yeah.
And then they'll share their idea with me. And, you know, I always tell them, I say, hey, is your idea protected first? Don't tell me an idea that you haven't protected because I don't want to hear about it.
Right, right.
Because I'm constantly working on ideas, right? So,
And
so if they have it mildly protected, patent pending or patented, I'll say, okay, tell me what you got and I'll tell you what I think. And I'll tell you how I think you can sell it because an idea is, you know, an idea until you can sell the idea.
Right.
And some of them I'm like, oh my God, stop right now. Stop.
Go the other direction.
Please go back to work. Yeah, and I hate being a dream crusher, but it's all about a value proposition. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be, people have to look at your idea and go, okay, I'm willing to pay X.
Right.
You know, and if the cost of that X is the majority of it, then you can't do it.
Right.
Right. You have to be able to have something you can make for a fraction of what the value proposition is, or it's not a functional product. And so sometimes I feel like I'm a bad guy telling these people, hey, that thing's going to cost you a ton to make and it's intricate and the value proposition's not that great for it. And you're not going to make any money. So I would say stop or go. I've told a lot of people to go and move on. Great idea.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's interesting how that works out because, you know, someone will tell you the idea or even they've said, oh, you know, I've shown this to so many people and they really think it's great. And I've said, have you asked them to invest in it?
Exactly.
Because, you know, everyone, all your friends are going to tell you have a great idea until you ask for money. And then you'll see how good of an idea it is.
Right.
You know.
No, I know. It's and when I was trying to raise a bit of money for Tour Striker originally, mm-hmm. Stacy and I did it on our own. We raised our cash and went to the PGA show, and it was like everybody was interested in it. That was cool. And then the golf agency, you know, the Abram brothers, and sadly, one of the Abram brothers passed away a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
And yeah, Steve, God bless him. Hope he's resting peacefully now. And anyway, so they were my guys who took it to mass market. They were the guys who, you know, Mike's an awesome producer, director guy, and they made a fabulous infomercial, and they blew the brand up, boom, you know, because they're good at that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got a little sidetracked thinking of Steve there, sorry, but
that's okay.
The, you know, building a brand, like getting something off the ground, that's a tricky thing. And so when I had success at the PGA show, I came back around and needed to I just needed to raise like probably about 50 more grand. And so I reached out to some friends. I said, don't invest in this because you are, you know, are like me. I said, invest in this because you are greedy. I said, because I've already proven this concept and I just need this cash to get over the next hurdle. And the guys that did, some of my buddies were quick to it, and they made about 10x on their investment. So wow. I couldn't have been happier to go,
yeah,
here's a check back. You, thank you very much. And I was so pleased to give them, you know, this big return, like within a short period of time, that they were like, oh my God, that was the easiest money I ever made. Mm. Now that's one of those stories. That's one of, you know, the other 100,000 stories didn't work.
Yeah,
that
one exactly.
Did. Yeah.
Oh, that, what an honor. What a blessing to be able to hand over the check and say, thank you.
Wow. So good.
Well, and then it brings us back to succeeding with an idea. We get back to Revolution Golf, and they are, Justin is not in charge anymore, huh?
Well, you know, he is, because, you know, obviously Golf Channel bought Revolution Golf, but he offices right there. He's got his hands in it. He's working hard. I think he's working as harder now.
Sure.
Just to kind of show them, you know, what he can do with the bigger platform they provide.
Well, you know, now he's working for somebody else. He's got to prove it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And obviously they love the model, because the network model is, I tell you, here's an example. My kids get home. Do you think they turn on the television? Nope. And they go right to their iPad
and
they
go to
turn
YouTube.
They go to YouTube and they watch content they want to watch when they want to watch it.
The world is on demand.
My son watches skateboarding, ice hockey. He watches, you know, people falling off of chairs, you know, stuff like that, right? And my daughter watches, you know, people falling off of chairs and gymnastic stuff. And then these silly kids who eat anything they're dared to eat. So they watch these silly shows on YouTube, and these kids are crushing it on YouTube. Content providers, right? Well, Justin was the content provider,
right,
in the internet space. Every day you could get something delivered to your inbox that you could watch from a teacher that you sort of liked or didn't, whether it was me or Jim McClain or Sean Foley or Andrew Rice or Martin Hall. And
some names.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to be among them.
Yeah.
And
you deserve to be there.
Well, thank you. And so, you know, here it is. And so the Golf Channel said, well, man, you got this massive subscription base and you're in everybody's inbox every single day, and there you go. You know, I think they worked out a good deal, and Justin's happy, and he's working hard and trying to even build it some more. And I'm excited about it because, you know, I've already been to Orlando a couple of times. They're looking to have an RG show with the faculty staff. So, I mean, you might see my mug on TV jumping around talking about how to help your, you know, gain a few more yards off the tee and all those things. So it should be great.
Should be great. That's going to be awesome. Wow. Well, congratulations to Justin on that, and couldn't be happier for him, and I wish it was me. But it ain't, and that's fine, too. I need to take a short break because I got to refill my coffee.
Sure.
Okay, enough of the background. Let's talk golf. Let's talk about golf instruction. I really, when you're doing your videos and you're doing these instructions, yeah, let's get away from the 40 hours of teaching a week for a moment, because this is mass market teaching. It's a very different beast than one-on-one teaching.
Yeah.
What is the most generic lesson that you do, and do you repeat it on these videos?
I do. So my client, okay, I'll give you, it's funny, my client base is split up two ways. You've got the 20 to 25 year old super fit athletic young person. And then you can, there's a void between 25 and 55, because those people are either not playing professional golf, having kids, working hard. And then the majority of my client base is like 55 to 85. They have time, they have money, they want to get better at golf, they're frustrated. So I either work with young professionals or older retired folks. Okay. And I love them both, to be candid. You know, so the lesson I give the most, Fred, and this is to the listenership out there, please, 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 okay, if I just say the one lesson is, people come into my golf school, 12 people a week, and I'm going to tell you, 10 of them have a grip that isn't as functional as it should be for as much golf as they play. So come on, golfers, you know, watch some very good grip videos or some of mine on YouTube. Please get your lead hand on correctly so you have decent leverage, and you think you do, but you probably don't, in a quick little tweak and that can be improved, and you can have a bit more opportunity for power freely just by putting your hands on nicely. And then second would be that every golfer, you know, wants to hit this draw, and that's fine. But to hit the draw, please don't whip the club low and inside and around you too quickly, because the result from that low and inside and around you too quickly is an up move that has to recover too much over the top. And then from there, you're kind of dead in the water. You can't really have a powerful strike. So the golfer that comes to me, if you can imagine, if you're kind of standing there and you had an aim stick between your toe line and the golf ball aiming at a target. So you're standing over a golf ball and you're hitting a shot. On the way back, that golf club of yours, when it gets to parallel for the first time, okay, then when the golf club gets to parallel for the first time, I want the club head a little closer to the target line than I do behind you. Because to hit a draw, you don't want the club whipped inside so you can swing inside. You want the golf club in a place where it gets shallower so it can orbit inside out. Orbiting inside out is a lot different than swinging inside out. And that, my friend, is a kind of a secret move that people have to learn if they want to play their best golf. So, you know, that might inspire some questions from you, but orbiting versus swinging is a big deal because the golf club head has some weight. When the golf club head gets to the top and you start to have that instinct to unwind your body to add some power, we want the golf club head working a little bit behind you so that it now has to work itself inside out to the golf ball. If you drag it too much inside in your backswing, you have no room for that fall to happen, and you have to artificially steepen that shaft, and that's when you become a decent player, but you can't hit it as good as you possibly could.
I had this conversation just a few weeks ago with Ken Doherty about the value or the importance of hitting a draw. When you have students come in and ask for, I want to start hitting a draw, and you watch a couple of their swings, are you looking at their swing or are you looking at their ball flight to determine whether or not it's really something they should pursue?
Well, first off, I mean, the first thing I'm going to look at is, like I call it, I use launch monitor, okay? So the first thing I'm looking at is, what is their club head doing at the moment of impact relative to the target line?
Okay.
Is it traveling across the target line, outside to in? Is it traveling inside to out? Because the easiest thing for me to adjust, my friend, is the club path. It's super easy. Because if I have a guy standing there, or a woman, and their club path is cutting across outside in, it's easy for me to go, okay, I'm going to rotate them to the right, or I'm going to rotate them to the left. I can change their hula hoop, if you will, in a second. Now, is that going to mess with their eyes and what they're looking at down the target line? Sure it is. But in a moment, I can show them, okay, hey, here's your pattern after 5 or 6 weeks. This is what your average is for club path delivery, and it's outside in, 5 or 6 degrees. Which means, Mr. Student, Mrs. Student, that the ball is going to either start straight and fade to the right, or get pulled to the left, or get pulled faded back to the target line. One of those things. Now I can rotate them 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 degrees to the right, and I can have them hit 5 or 6 balls. I'm not even worried where they go at them at that time. Then I can show them their club head's path. And now I'm taking away face from this equation right now, just path. Then I can show them, okay, so now your path is going to the right 4, 5, 6 degrees. And when I show them that, they go, okay, now so the club head's going to the right now. I didn't really change much except how I was, my relationship to this target line as I stood on the ground. Now, if I can adjust the face within their grip a little bit, okay, now they can get the golf ball, instead of pull fades, they can start to hit, you know, little draws. Because, you got to be able to change their path. And once you change their path, their ball's probably still going to be going to the right, farther to the right. Now, the next part of the equation is getting their face organized. And that may be a subtle grip change. It might be a subtle wrist condition change. But when they start seeing the ball tumble over the other way, and it's the landing angle of the ball changes and the spin changes and the ball tumbles out a little farther, they see the benefit and they're more likely to buy into what you're asking them to do. So you got to back up your, in my opinion, you have to back up what you're coaching with some data. Because I like to have, usually people trust me. The better the player, the less they trust me. So if I have objective data just to show them as we're working together, then they go, oh, okay. Guy knows what he's talking about. He's showing me how things are changing objectively, and they're more apt to continue to work hard in what you're saying.
But are there people that you say, you know what, it's not that important for you. You don't really need to hit a draw. You're fine.
Oh, totally.
Okay,
totally.
Good.
Yeah. So I take, a lot of guys will book me for a day, and it's, you know, the day lesson's fun. We meet for breakfast, get to know each other, you know, tell some jokes, have some fun over breakfast for 40 minutes or so. And then we get warmed up, hit a few balls, and then we go out to the golf course for a couple, three holes.
Cool.
And I want to see them hit, you know, how they aim, how they hit it, how they strategize. I want to see their routine. I want to see how they chip from some awkward positions I throw some balls into. And then I'm going to form an opinion of where the opportunities are. Now, if some guy stands up there and hits like a perfect peely little butter fade down the middle on those few holes, I'm going to tell him, hey, buddy, you have a reliable tee ball game. Don't change it, because you have basically shown me what Jack Nicklaus does and what Lee Trevino does and what other, you know, the best players who hit these reliable fades do. Don't change that. Because if I see that, I'm going to say, hey, you've checked that box. Congratulations. And if they say, but I want to, and I'm going to say, don't even go there. You're great at this. Stay there. The opportunities for you, my friend, are in your, you just hit two fat seven irons from 145. You just laid the sod over an easy 40-yard pitch shot. That chip that was from an easy spot beside the green rolled by 22 feet, and then you three putted. So you check the box on the peely driver down the middle. Was it optimized? Maybe not. Was it highly reliable and playable? Absolutely. Let's look at the low-hanging fruit for you to be a better golfer, not a sexier, you know, one element you don't need to fix.
Yeah. And do you like doing playing lessons versus range lessons?
Oh, I love them. I love them. I think you got to blend them because the playing lesson part is, you know, the application,
right?
And here's what I hate about the range. Everybody goes to a range. It's a flat lot. And I've been on your show before, and I've said this before, is that you, if I give you a sack of range balls and say, go for it, you might hit the first 10 squirrely. Then you're going to figure it out. You're going to get onto some rhythm. And you're going to hit some good shots. Guess what? On the golf course, we don't get to do that.
Yeah.
We get one chance. Okay. So you got to learn how to, you got to learn how to put the rhythm in prior to the shot. You got to learn how to walk into the shot. You got to learn how to use that particular rhythm for the shot at hand. Okay. There's a process to that. And I tell people in my golf school, don't fool yourself. You're not going to practice. And they look at me like, what? I said, don't fool yourself. Okay. Maybe you're arranged out of the 12 people there and my four coaches. Okay, maybe one guy's or one gal's and go to the range. Okay, the rest of you, let me show you how to get better without practice. And then they look at me like, what are you talking about? And I say, well, let me explain. We're going to put in some feels right now, some nuances. And they're going to be, you know, typically most of the nuances and feels are going to be some kind of structure in your backswing. You know, where your arms need to be and how your wrist conditions need to feel. Okay, well, we're going to do that in a half practice swing behind the golf ball. You know, about visualize maybe 8 feet behind the golf ball, parallel to your line of play. And let me show you how to make a practice swing with meaning. And a practice swing with meaning isn't some big full-on rip. It's an organized thing that's more like a three-quarter swing, maybe a half swing, to put in and instill a feeling behind the golf ball. And it doesn't touch the ground. It's the club head's 4 to 6 inches off the ground. You're swinging through the air. You're organizing your wrists and your arms because we were showing you some drills to do this with. And once you feel that, okay, that takes 8 seconds. So you're not breaking any rules per the USGA and you're not driving your buddies crazy. Then you walk in and you hit it. Now, Fred, you know what the three results are going to be? Good, bad, or indifferent, right? You're going to hit a good shot, a bad shot, or an indifferent shot. And now if you live in indifference in golf, that's great. That means the ball didn't go behind a tree. It went sort of in front of you. Maybe it's in the light rough. Maybe it's in the rough. A bad shot's obviously a shot that has a penalty related to it or a chip out or an awkward next shot or whatever. A good shot is one of those, you know, you pat your back and you go, way to go. That was awesome. That surprised myself. And you move on. But the pattern of improvement to me is more about the pre-shot routine, okay, which doesn't take long once you're shown how to do it properly. The walk-in and commitment of hitting a shot, and then the moment of reflection afterward, okay? Like George Knudsen used to make us stand there for 3 seconds, okay, which feels like an eternity after a shot because if the shot's poor, most people want to go whip the club away and go, ah, and they want to show the world that they're better than the poor shot they just hit.
Right.
Rather than make a swing and kind of go, okay, what did I feel? Where was my balance? Did I actually execute what I wanted to feel in my pre-shot? right? So I talk to these people and I say, listen, okay, you're going to go play golf twice a week. Now these retired folks are going to play twice a week, okay, average. And you're going to hit between 40 and 45 full swings, give or take. And you have these opportunities in 40 to 45 times to compound your feels and intent in this routine this week. There's 80 opportunities. Next week, now you're at 160. 3 weeks, now you're at 240. Okay, now you've got all these compounding ability over the rounds of golf you play if you pay attention to this routine. If you pay attention to this routine, you're going to get exponentially better without trying to go to the range, standing on some flat piece of ground, getting some rhythm hitting seven irons. And that's fun too. I call that exercise for most people, okay, because they're really not doing much at the range. And then if they do go to the range, I show them how to actually practice intently for 30 minutes. Okay, not for 2 hours, just 30 minutes. Mm. Do it properly with the right intent, the right reflection, and then you will get much better. But most people don't do that because it's tough to do. And I'm guilty too. I take piano lessons and it's hard to do. So I suffer with them.
Wow, good for you. You said that the easiest thing is to correct the path. That may be easy from your side, but after they have the feel for it while you're working with them, they understand what the difference is. How hard is it, or how easy is it to maintain that once they leave you?
Well, so here's the thing. You never actually leave me, Fred. And I know that sounds creepy, right?
But every
student that comes to see me, I build them an online training platform. Oh. Okay. Everyone. So like for you, for example, if you came to the golf school or you came just and booked me for half a day, full day, 1 hour, whatever, you get a platform. And the platform is, hey, here's your lessons with me chronologically. Here's the first swing. Here's the first video I took of you. Here's the first comparison. Here is the series of me voicing over, and I wear my wireless mic with every lesson I give so that the quality of video is very good on, I mean, the quality of audio is good on the video. And so I walk people through what I feel is their best opportunity, okay? Whether it's a half day, you know, we might get into short game, bunker play, blah, 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 full day, we go play more golf and get into a lot more. But that platform is there for you. And guess what? Like Revolution Golf, if you have questions, ask them below, because there's opportunity for you to say, hey, Martin, I played two great rounds and I've lost it. Or, hey, I'm playing amazing. I shot, you know, won my men's club B flight, you know, that kind of stuff. So the more engaged they are, the better they get. And I encourage them to be engaged, because every morning when I'm having my cup of coffee, I scroll through the platforms and there's a little notification that says, hey, Martin, you have 6 questions. So I go through and I say, hey, Fred, thanks for your question. I'll be in my studio, and I carve time in my week to answer my questions in my studio, where I turn on the camera and go, hey, Fred, you're doing great, but please refer back to the video that we did here. Therefore, you need to do a little bit more of that in your pre-shot routine when you go to play. Or if you're going to go to the range, okay, do 3 sets of 5 back in this, you know, program that we did when you're at the golf school. So I kind of channel them back to where they need to go. And then they have this they have this online app, which they can watch on their phone, or they can do it on their TV, I mean, on their computer at home, or their iPad or whatever. So it's a continuing education program for every golfer. They don't just come for a lesson. I go, okay, thanks for the money. See you later. I'm not interested in that. I want to blow your mind. I want you to become awesome. And I want you to tell everybody I had an amazing learning experience from this knucklehead named Martin Chuck and his coaches. And I'm actually playing way better and having more fun. Oh, and by the way, you got to go see him. But you better do it now because he's already booked up for a couple months. That's what I'm looking for.
Awesome. Listen, I want to get to our Golf Smarter Academy, so I'm going to wrap this up because I want to have you come back, because just in a few weeks is the PGA Merchandise Show down in Orlando, and I know you're going to be down there and probably introducing something new like you do every year because your wife's encouraging you to do so. Yay, wife.
So Mama,
I want to Mama Striker. So I want to make sure that we get you to come back after the PGA show and get a review of what happened down there and what happened for you.
Look forward to it. Thrilled to do it.
All right, but before we go, I want to make sure that everybody knows how to get in touch with you and where you're teaching.
Absolutely. You know, my website's tourstriker.com. Simple as that. And my home base you know, from October through May is where I live in Phoenix, Arizona. I live in Chandler, but Phoenix, and we're at the Raven Golf Club. So that's for myself and my coaches. That's where we coach you up, and we'll look forward to seeing you down there. And then in the summer, you never know where I'm going to be. I'm all over the place. So to all your listeners, I can't wait to meet you, and hope we see you down at the Raven or one of the other places that we travel in the summertime.
Hey, man, have a happy new year and a successful new year. I have no doubt for you. And again, we always love having you on the show. It's always so informative and entertaining.
Oh, thank you. All the best to you, buddy.
If you want to hear more Golf Smarter conversations with Martin Chuck, I invite you to search through our archives to find not only Martin, but other great teachers and lessons, tips, and stories. Now, starting in 2012, Martin has appeared on episodes number 315, 333, 422, 423, and 488. All right, we'll dip into our voice mailbag for Golf Smarter Academy with Tony Manzoni, presented by Health IQ, in a moment. But let me tell you that this episode of Golf Smarter is brought to you by Flaviar, a club for explorers at heart. Flaviar is the world's largest online club of spirits enthusiasts. Like, my goal on this show is to help you discover new ways at looking at your golf game. The goal for the folks at Flaviar is to help you discover and experience spirits in a new and fun way by offering an amazing collection of more than 15,000 spirits. Go to flaviar.com/exclusive and use the coupon code GOLFSMARTER so that you too can take advantage of these exclusive opportunities that are only available to Flaviar members. These opportunities include Flaviar tasting boxes that come with tasting notes, descriptions, and their smart-ass corner. I love that part. And by enabling members to sample these spirits side by side before buying them, Flaviar helps you develop your own personal taste, which in turn means you're making the right decisions. Think about all the empty bottles of spirits that you could have had in your home bar now if you just sampled it first, right? Can't tell you how many that I have that are just a couple of tastes and then it just sits there and collects dust. I hate that. Well, members rate and comment on spirits on Flaviar's website and in their app. And then they share their shots. Not their shots. They share their thoughts with the community. So the information and reviews you're getting are from both the experts and people just like you. And once you find something you like, then as a member, each month you get free shipping on the bottle you choose, which also includes exclusive Flaviar private bottlings. One more time, go to flaviar.com/exclusive. That's F as in Fred, L-A-V as in Victor, I-A-R, F-L-A-V-I-A-R, flaviar.com/exclusive, and use the coupon code GOLFSMARTER during checkout. Okay, it's Manzoni time. Thank you all for your enthusiastic response to our new Golf Smarter Academy with Tony Manzoni, presented by Health IQ. Just in case you've missed this announcement, The Lost Fundamental, which is the title of Tony's book and his DVD, are no longer available. Trust me, there's no need to search the web. I'm confident. It's not out there. The book is not in publication anymore, and there's only a couple of DVDs. But I am in conversation with Tony's ghostwriter to make the book available in Kindle and iBook formats, but I can't tell you when that's going to happen. And if you want the DVD, there are a few copies left, but they're not for sale. The only way you can get a copy of Tony's DVD, The Lost Fundamental, is to call our toll-free Golf Smarter Academy line at 415-761-1498, just like this Golf Smarter listener who called in from Germany.
Hello, Fred. This is Bernd, and I'm calling from Germany. I'm an 11 handicap golfer, and my goal is to break 80 constantly. I already broke 80 this year, but it seems to me that I got stuck with my efforts to do so and lower my scores. My question is, what kind of skills do I have to develop with my training to break 80 constantly? I mean, training my overall game, like tee shots, approach shots, short game, putting, and what are the best training methods, drills, and what about the right mindset and the mental part of the game? Thanks.
Hi, Bern.
This is Tony Manzoni, staff member of Golf Smarter. I want to answer that question that you posed about breaking into the 70s. Looking at your handicap, 11.5, you're certainly a good player and more than capable of shooting in the 70s. Not knowing too much about your game, I'm going to start with the short game. Most people is where they throw their scores away, and they, at the end of the round, because most people don't chart what they're doing, they're thinking about some drive they hit out of bounds or in the water and not remembering all the chips that you didn't get up and down. What I've done with my players in the past is I've had them play a round of golf and purposely to every green hit short, left of it, right of it, right at it. From there, you're trying to get that ball up and down. You know, you're going to get 18 tries at this. And the more that you do this, the more you're going to start seeing where your weak areas are. And that's where most people throw the strokes away. I believe that if you take this strategy and work at it a little bit, I think that'll really help. Also, get familiar with your other irons when you come to pitching and chipping. Most people fall in love with their sand wedge or pitching wedge, and they never use the run-up shots, which are so valuable around the green and much easier to accomplish. So arm yourself with those kinds of shots, because that, again, will insulate your game. When you're a little bit off with the long game, this will bring the score in to its a decent place. And if you're having a good day, you're going to break into the 70s. Another strategy that I'd like to recommend is that on playing par fives, if you're long enough to reach it in two, don't go for it in two unless you can hit a high lofted shot. Most people, again, knock it in the bunker or knock it on the green way past the pin and three putt and walk away discouraged. A better strategy is to, when you get out there and you've hit your second shot, hit it into an area that you're strong at, like maybe your wedge area or nine iron area. Knock that ball on the green with that short club, which you can accomplish, and you're going to get close enough to where you're going to make birdie or par most of the time. It's just a much better strategy. That was the strategy that Sam Snead used, and he was a prodigious hitter of the ball, but he chose to play smart golf, and that's what this is all about. Those are my best advices to you, but work on that short game. Thanks so much for your question. You're part of the family now, Bern, so work hard and let us know how you're doing. Thank you.
Golf Smarter Academy is presented by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people get lower rates on their life insurance. I mentioned in the opening that life insurance companies calculate your policy rates based on your nearest age. Got the air quotes going on nearest age, not your actual age. And rates increase as you get older. So if you haven't purchased yet, or maybe I'm planting a little seed in your head about getting life insurance, you should know that 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. One thing I've noticed from communicating with golfers around the world is that so many of us find that once we start a family and have that life with kids and dogs, mortgages, and all those other things, golf becomes a luxury and is hard to make a priority. Actually, that's the way it's supposed to be, as your priority shifts from me to us or them. And that's when it's time to start thinking about life insurance. You don't want to leave your family with nothing except your old golf clubs and a lot of training aids. Now, while doing your research, make sure you check out the fastest growing life insurance company with over $5 billion in coverage. Health IQ is there because health-conscious people like runners, swimmers, cyclists, even vegetarians, they get lower rates on life insurance. So please go to healthiq.com/golfsmarter to see if you qualify. We're very happy that Health IQ agreed to sponsor the Golf Smarter Academy. So it was a favor to every Golf Smarter listener who enjoys hearing Tony Manzoni. Go to the site. Get a free quote on life insurance today. Even if you already have coverage from another agency, why not try to see if you can do better? Like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. That's healthiq.com/golfsmarter to see if you qualify. Now, everyone qualifies for better golf, and that's why you should seriously consider our Golf Smarter Academy clinics with Tony Manzoni, Dave Evans, and Gary Hopkins. These three legends of Palm Springs golf have teamed up to give 90-minute clinics for only $75 per student. It blows me away every time I even say it. These clinics are limited to only 9 students each, so you're going to rotate to get a half hour with each teacher. It means you're learning from great communicators with an intimate group of 3 instead of a full class of 9. Now, if you're in the Southern California area or planning to be in the Palm Springs, Palm Desert, or La Quinta, or anywhere in the Coachella Valley, learn more about what we're doing at golfsmarter.com/academy. If you have a specific date that you'd like to hook up with these 3 amigos, click on the link to send an email to both me and Tony to secure a time. That's golfsmarter.com/academy to sign up for a lesson with Tony, Dave, and Gary, or to leave your question at our toll-free Academy question line at 415-761-1498. Now, when Tony answers your question, you'll get a workout shirt from Health IQ and Tony's DVD, The Lost Fundamental. In our recent Maddie B Awards, the conversation came up about what do we call the Golf Smarter listeners, or this community of listeners who are learning more about golf and having fun with it. And we got a suggestion from Mark Do-Wang-Chan. And like every teacher you had in school, Mark, I really apologize for mispronouncing your name, but I appreciate you sending in a suggestion. His suggestion was to call ourselves Smarty Pants. That's not bad, but we're not there yet. I thought about it, and how about Golf Smarters? Listen closely, because there's a wordplay here. I'm not saying golf smarters. I'm saying that we're golf's martyrs. And our slogan could be study, practice, sacrifice, and I still can't putt. We are golf's martyrs. You got a suggestion? Click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.